August stepped closer. She kept the pressure steady against my hand. All those times your father treated you mean, Our Lady was the voice in you that said, No, I will not bow down to this. I am Lily Melissa Owens. I will not bow down. Whether you could hear this voice or not, she was in there saying it. I took my other hand and placed it on top of hers, and she moved her free hand on top of it, so we had this black and white stack of hands resting upon my chest. When you're unsure of yourself, she said, when you start pulling back into doubt and small living, she's the one inside saying, Get up from there and live like the glorious girl you are. She's the power inside you, you understand? Her hands stayed where they were, but released their pressure. And whatever it is that keeps widening your heart, that's Mary too. Not only the power inside you, but the love. And when you get down to it, Lily, that's the only purpose grand enough for a human life. Not just to love, but to persist in love. She paused. Bees drummed their sound into the air. August retrieved her hands from the pile on my chest, but I left mine there. This Mary I'm talking about sits in your heart all day long saying, Lily, you are my everlasting home. Don't you ever be afraid. I am enough. We are enough. I closed my eyes, and in the coolness of morning, there among the bees, I felt for one clear instant what she was talking about. When I opened my eyes, August was nowhere around. I looked back toward the house and saw her crossing the yard, her white dress catching the light. The knock on the door came at 2 p.m. I was sitting in the parlor writing in the new notebook Zach had left at my door, setting down everything that had happened to me since Mary Day. Words streamed out of me so fast I couldn't keep up with them, and that's all I was thinking about. I didn't pay attention to the knock. Later I would remember it didn't sound like an ordinary knock, more like a fist pounding. I kept writing, waiting for August to answer it. I was sure it was the man from Goose Creek with the new queen bee. The pounding came again. June had gone off with Neil. Rosaline was in the honey house washing a new shipment of mason jars, a job that belonged to me, but she'd volunteered for it, seeing how badly I needed to write everything out. I didn't know where August was, probably in the honey house helping Rosaline. I look back and wonder, how did I not guess who was there? The third time the knocking came, I got up and opened the door. T-Ray stared at me, clean-shaven, wearing a white short-sleeved shirt with chest hair curling through the neck opening. He was smiling. Not a smile of sweet adoring, I hasten to say, but the fat grin of a man who's been rabbit hunting all day long and has just found his prey, backed up in a hollow log with no way out. He said, Well, well, well. Look who's here. I had a sudden terror-stricken thought he might that second drag me out to his truck and hightail it straight back to the peach farm where I would never be heard from again. I stepped backward into the hallway, and with a forced politeness that surprised me and seemed to throw him off stride, I said, Won't you come in? What else was I going to do? I turned and forced myself to walk calmly into the parlor. His boots clomped after me. All right, goddammit, he said, speaking to the back of my head. If you want to pretend I'm making a social visit, we'll pretend, but this ain't a social visit, you hear me? I spent half my summer looking for you, and I'm going to take you out of here, nice and quiet or kicking and screaming, don't matter which to me. I motioned to a rocking chair. Have a seat if you want to. I was trying to look ho-hum. When inside I was close to full-blown panic. Where was August? My breath had turned into short, shallow puffs, a dog pant. He flopped into the rocker and pushed back and forth, that "got you now" grin glued on his face. "So you've been here the whole time, staying with colored women, Jesus Christ!"